dreams of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I'll lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And it's called Are You the Salt of the Earth? Are you the salt of the earth? And of course, we're going to base this from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I want to look primarily today at verses 13 to 16. That is Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. And here in its context, and Jesus has given the teachings, the principles of the Beatitude, which maybe we'll look at again if the Lord leads sometime. But I want to look primarily at verses 13 to 16. And here is where believers are preserved by salt, and they are to be that light. And I trust that we will be blessed by this, and that the Holy Spirit will really open up and encourage us with regard to this. But we'll read these few verses, which says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Again, so often with the scriptures, it speaks on a practical level, because we know that we have been preserved and kept to live and walk by faith in this life until the Lord Jesus comes for us. And indeed, he will come, and he will not tarry. There will be the right time when he calls us up for his bride, and he will be faithful, and it will be his absolute perfect timing. Because I think all of us at times are thinking, Lord, do come soon. Please come soon. And that is probably, if it's wanting the Lord and not wanting a quick escape, which sometimes it can be, but if we're really, in a sense, calling out to God because of the ungodliness, because of the situation the world is in, and what God is doing in our lives, how he's changing us, how his love and grace and mercy is affecting our lives, if that's what's working in us, then Lord, come soon is a good, healthy sign, one of which he's hearing. Hallelujah. But are you the salt of the earth? Because that is the question that we're looking at. And like so much of the deeper life teaching, it requires the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower us in order to be able to go on into perfection, in obedience, in faith, to make us effective in this life. Now, probably in ourselves and in our flesh, we probably don't feel we're very effective. In fact, many times, what use am I? Nobody wants to know. Nobody is interested. I feel that I'm not much of a light wherever I go. I'm not of much use, to be quite honest. And they are the very conditions in which God gets our attention to show us that we walk by faith and not by sight. I think we heard some of this morning through prophecy. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, in other words, then the Holy Spirit, who's come in power in your life, will work for his glory that effectiveness. You are precisely empowered to be able to walk the deeper life, if indeed you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we also have to remember that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are other experiences to be experienced. We know this from Scripture. We know that not only were they empowered in the upper room at Pentecost, but we see later on that they receive a further empowerment for witness, for boldness, and other experiences as well. So we find that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that is the baptism, there are other experiences to be experienced. And the question is, are you calling out for those experiences? Are you asking God for further empowerments through the Holy Spirit in order to be that light in the world and to be that salt in the earth? Because that is what he has come for. Not just for signs and miracles, and indeed they have that place, but it is more than that. So that we can walk this walk every day. Because everyday life and activity in the natural, in the flesh, can be very boring. And so God knows this, and he's left us still here so that we overcome those conditions each day, which can be very boring. And this is why so many people suffer with depression in this world, because fundamentally they are bored with their lives, their circumstances, things that don't go how they want, dreams shattered, relationships come to an end, all of those things that create depression. And of course, the enemy knows how to get in there and to make it worse and so forth. And they now call it bipolar and so on. But it's fundamentally depression. Well, God has baptized us in the Holy Spirit to raise us above those experiences that the world walks by. And that is why the world is so subject to anything that will give me a break. And this is why they turn to alcohol and they turn to drugs. They want that rush in their life. They want an experience that takes me out of my everyday 24/7 walk that I'm sick and tired of. In other words, I want a break. And we all know that. We've all experienced that. And we go through that. But we have the precious Holy Spirit. We have God in our lives. And he is the one that's not only saved us, but empowered us to raise us above the spirit of this age that is paralyzing so many. And we need to be reminded of this from time to time. And God allows us to go through experiences because that helps us to appreciate more what God has done for us. But not only that, it causes us to cry out in the depths of our heart for greater experiences of God. In other words, God has a way of making the church desperate in order to do a new thing. Why? Because I heard this morning, I believe in prophecy, he moves us on just like with the children of Israel, through the cloud by day and through the pillar of fire by night. Israel didn't like those moves. And they made it very clear. Because we like to put our roots down. We like to feel that security. But God doesn't let the overcomer feel, I quote, secure. And if you are truly an overcomer and you're walking with God, your circumstances, your everyday life doesn't feel secure. Mine certainly doesn't. But they are the very conditions of which you walk by. And so our security can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and dwells in us. But he is moving us on from plateau to plateau to plateau. And every plateau we move on to next, the past is history, which you let go as we are continually cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That is its effectual work, to let go of the past, to let go of experiences or where it didn't go right or where somebody did the dirty on you or whatever. All history in your life needs to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And if it isn't, then you have to raise questions. Why is this not happening in my life? And you have to answer that question. You have to go before God on this. It's very easy to blame other situations or blame the church. It is our responsibility to seek God on those things. And he's there in his patience, love and grace and mercy to show us, to lead us and to guide us, which he does. Israel's failure was she was stiff-necked and she had only herself to blame. So we are empowered through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which God can work this obedience, this faith, which makes this whole walk effective. In other words, it's that continual empowerment for the walk of perfection. Because perfection is what he's working in us. And we all know about that. It's not sinless perfection, but our walk of faith must be perfected. Abraham's walk of faith was perfected through his faith, his obedience in God. Just simply trusting that God had everything under complete control. Now that either brings the best out of us or the worst. It does those two things. And we have to adjust to that. If it's starting to bring the worst out of me, then I've got to get before God to get it right. Because it should be bringing the best out of me. This should be perfecting me. Our everyday walk with God should be perfecting me for his glory. A perfection in believing. Because everything comes on the basis of believing the word of God. We cannot change if I don't believe this word and it's persuading me and changing me and influencing me. Then there can never be any changes. So there's the basis. It's that sowing of the seed into the heart. But if the hearts are hard, if the hearts are worldly, doesn't matter how many sermons you listen to, it's not doing any good. It's not doing any good. So we know all of that. We've had a lot of teaching on that. But I'm stressing at the moment the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I believe this is what God has been showing me through the week. We need to experience the ongoing empowerment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one experience. And this is where it went very wrong in the Pentecostal era, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because of a lack of teaching and so on. They failed to see, they saw it as a one-off experience. But it isn't. It is an experience and an empowerment for a continual empowerment, for a continual inflowing. It is a reservoir that never runs out. It is a renewing. It is an empowering. It is a continual experience. It's empowering us to walk this deeper life walk that cannot be walked otherwise. This is why churches are in such compromise. When they look at, for example, the teachings of the Beatitude, well, you get a number of things that will arise. Well, when Jesus gave that in those days, everything was so different to what it is today. That's the big one that is used. But the principles of the Beatitude are still to be experienced in our everyday walk. God doesn't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. And I can certainly assure you, Satan and demons don't change. Nothing, there is nothing new under the sun. So, the principle of our walk is the same to those in the upper room when they receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So we are totally dependent, reliant upon the power of the Spirit in my life. And not only that, but we should expect to see it. And I think that's what's happening. We've lost that expectation. We have taken our eyes off the source of why it is we walk the deeper life. The empowerment, the Holy Spirit. Why am I stressing this? Because the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, has come for one purpose, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. And if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to do that work, then our eyes start coming off him. Because he empowers us to be able to keep our eyes on him, particularly in those trials. So this is very, very important. We need to be influenced as disciples of Christ in this area. So, with this introduction that I've given then, this passage, these verses of 13 through to 16, raises a fundamental question as to what influences us upon this world. What is meant that we are the salt of the earth? Do we really have a real realization of what is actually being said here? I know it's using a metaphor, but it's a very good one. We know that salt has the chemical nature of it to preserve. That's its nature. It preserves, it also seasons, it also purifies, and it has the same effect spiritually on society today. I don't think we actually experience salt like we did in the olden days. Salt was not so tampered with as it is today. It's bleached. Salt actually isn't, true salt isn't actually white. It's a sort of pinky browny colour. That's where all its real chemicals and minerals are to be found. It's literally filled with it. but we bleach it. We mess about with it. And so we reduce so much of the contents in salt to what is originally found. And the same with our foods, isn't it? And so we find that there's a certain amount of high doses of salt that are found in a lot of food. And of course, naturally speaking, that's not very good for those with heart conditions and high blood pressure. But nevertheless, we are overcomers, we walk by faith, and we trust God in these areas. But like everything, there has to be a balance within the amount that we take. Our bodies need salt. It's absolutely vital for cells and so on. So there's a tremendous amount to be found, but years and years back, much foods were preserved by salt. Pork, beef, various different meats and so forth, and even fish, they would be preserved and kept by salt because we didn't have refrigeration like we have today. So we know pretty well what salt does and how it can indeed season some foods. There are some foods, and I'll just say it now where I'm concerned. If I eat an egg or a boiled egg or a poached egg or whatever it is, I've got a bit of salt on it. I just have. There are just some things that, for me, just require a bit of salt. And it's really, really bland otherwise. So there it is. You know, it's a thing for seasoning and so on. Well, we also know that it's antiseptic, and to a degree, it purifies. So if you've got sore eyes, we get conjunctivitis, bathing your eyes in a weak salt solution can work wonders. Got a bit of a sore throat? Gargle with salt. Ever had an ulcer in the mouth? Put a bit of salt on it, you'll hit the roof, but afterwards you'll get the relief. Cuts, put a bit of salt in it. You can either clean your teeth with salt. And so it goes on. So it's a very versatile mineral, isn't it? It really, really is. So Jesus knows what he's talking about here when he starts to refer to salt. So we see that the power of the Holy Spirit in like manner purifies the disciple. And he does this, the power of the Spirit, he purifies us in our conduct, how we come over, in our mind, in our motives, our speech, and so on. It is all purifying what he's doing. He comes as a purifying fire to purge us so that we continue to have taste. We have flavor. We are the salt of the earth. He's come baptizing us to preserve us so that we will be seen in this life. That they will see and know that we have been with Jesus. Now you don't know that. He doesn't advertise that to you, but he does to the world. And very occasionally he might give us a glimpse of what he's doing in your life. Where you suddenly see in a situation, gosh, I am different to them. You know, he might allow you to be with other people of the world, and you sit there and you start to listen, and you listen to their conversation, and you think to yourself, I've got nothing in common with this. I've got nothing in common with this. And you listen to what they're saying or what they're doing, and then when they maybe ask you or invite you into the conversation, you soon realise that when you start to say something, you're not on their level at all. And they look at you and think, who is this? You know? They're clear signs of what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. You find you don't want to go along with all their jesting and the smut that comes out of their mouth and the filth. You don't want to be a part of it. And it's highly offensive when they use our Saviour's name to blaspheme. And note, it's always that name. Never the devil's name, is it? Never. But of course, that's the one it's coming from. But they don't see it. They don't see it. So this tells us that we are the salt of the earth. And the power of the Holy Spirit has come, baptizing us, which is purifying us. He's making disciples out of us. And that's why he's working on your mind, delivering you in the mind. This is why he's working on your conduct, your appearance, how you come over, how you treat people, what comes out of your mouth. He's working on all these things, if we let him. And that's why it's to act as a purifying influence in this world of corruption and sin. We get a glimpse of this in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Verses 12 to 14. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 to 14. This is all connected in the marriage between husband and wife. And we see in verses 12 to 14, "But to the rest I, not the Lord, says, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy." There is what the nature of salt, spiritually speaking, does. So if you are willing in the household, and that he uses there, of course, the husband or the wife and the children that come from that marriage, we see by your life, by your conduct, by your faith, how you live, that has a purifying effect upon the family. And that can, with our witness, can with the rest of our families and in-laws, our neighbours and so on. How we come over, how we act and so on. So it's very interesting, isn't it? But all of which, there are times that we see in ourselves very little that outwardly looks like that, or what use am I? I don't feel that I'm of any salt. I've lost my savour, or whatever it is. There's no flavour left of me. Well, trust God in this. And that's why you are baptised in the Holy Spirit, for that purpose. So take courage. Whatever the circumstances look like, I am baptised in the Holy Spirit. I am empowered. I know I am, because I speak in tongues, which is the sign of it. See, churches sadly have compromised with this doctrine. They have problems with teaching. We've got denominational divisions. That's why there's little cleansing and preserving and seasoning amongst it all. It's lost its witness, its effectiveness. And God is not going to let this happen, even to FGA. If you sit back and you're not bothered whether this happens to FGA or not, then possibly he could remove you. But if you love Jesus, you love his body unconditionally. No strings, nothing. You love him, you love his body, you love the brethren. You cannot divide any of this. And we are tested in this area. And it comes back, and it's quite simple. It comes back to love. For love believes all things, endures all things. It stays with it. That is the effective witness. Denominations, churches sadly gave up centuries ago on that. And that is why you have all the divisions you have. Hundreds of denominations, all of them believing their own thing, what suits them. You could have a denomination that suits your lifestyle, that suits your background, your education, your culture, what country you come from. You've got a church that'll cater for all of that. You've got Indian churches, you've got black churches, you've got Malaysian churches, you've got Anglican churches, you've got high church, low church, posh church, you name it. All catering for how man wants to worship God on his terms. Tragic, isn't it? No salt. Lost its witness. No preserving agency. No seasoning. Nothing. All believing what they want to believe. And here we are, whatever we done to deserve it, God restoring us back to one faith, one baptism, one Lord. Hallelujah. We know that all these principles and teachings will be ignored and forgotten, be it for the remnant's sake. And the remnant's sake are the salt of the earth. We are still of use. We are still preserving. We are still seasoning. We are still holding on to God and his ways. Jesus predicted this, didn't he? With judgment that is looming fast on the earth. He has shown very, very clear. It'll be like the days of Noah. It'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But amongst all of that, there is a remnant still preserving, still seasoning. And how is this done, brothers and sisters? By your faith. By your intercessions, by your belief, by your supplications for governments, for the world, for your rebellious family, for your next door neighbour, your boss at work or whatever it is, those prayers, that preservation, continuing to go out, as small as it is still reminding us there's still salt in the earth. Don't give up on this, however it looks. This is why we must not look to the world. Do not take your eyes off God, his word, this walk, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is what keeps us effective. This is what makes us salt in the earth. Because every time you pray for someone, you are applying the salt of the earth. Amen. Preservation, flavour, a preservative. That is the whole nature of what this is. Because the human race, the world, has degenerated to such a level. It's an unbelievable level now. There's nothing that surprises me anymore. And not only that, but the technology that's attached to it. That's the blinding factor. Man boasting in technology. What he can do. What can be achieved. And of course, we know we're now experiencing artificial intelligence. If you pick up a phone now to make a call, you very seldom speak to a person. It's a robot. Recorded voices. And they're now introducing robots into society. There will soon be stores or go online where you can buy these robots now. Well, you can. Google sell one. We've got Siri on our phones. We can talk to him. And they're now trying to work with artificial intelligence. They're now trying to program the soul into these robots. They're trying to work out how can you give them a soul? How can they make rational decisions like a human being can? And they will tell you that it is achievable. It can be done. They are developing soldiers, police now, that will police the world, that will be artificial intelligence, will be robots. Your governments will be controlled by robots. So fundamentally, man is being made redundant. I raised the question, can robots reproduce? Can they procreate? Well, they'll probably even try and work on that. So what do we see the attack is on? Man. Procreating. It's again the attack on the seed. An outright rebellion against God. And God will only let this go so far. And your prayers and intercessions can foul this up. It hinders it. This is why I get much in warfare. This is why I just listen to the news in the morning. Because when I hear things come on that news, I there and then take authority over that from blinding or deceiving minds that are listening to this. I cannot tell you how many times the Holy Spirit has led me to do that. Or I hear of something, we get into warfare. But how do you do all of this? How can you be active like this? By opening your heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you to do this. Can't be achieved otherwise. Even the cross in your life, so that we decrease, that he increases, cannot be done unless the power of the Holy Spirit is working that. This is why some are raising their hands in utter despair. I don't know what else to do. We do. It's the power of the Spirit. You're not opening your heart, your life, to get filled further. All of this comes in the deeper life by asking. It doesn't roll into your lap. The deeper life is about covenant. It is about two people who walk together, who agree together, who meet together halfway. That's the principle. As we know, James so clearly says, don't only be hearers, but doers of the word. And the teaching that we have week after week is anointed for the very purpose to encourage you, yes, even to provoke you to ask of God in order to keep up with the walk. That's the nature of it. And that is why we're so blessed, as I bring this to a close, that he's brought us under an end time teaching like this. You know as well as I do, so few listen to this. We know this online. Most come in. Some will stay for 30 seconds. Some will stay for 10 minutes. Some might stay for 30 minutes. Oh, what a message. When are you open next? When's the room open next? Give them all the details and everything. And do you see them the following week? Seldom do. And I look at that and I think, what have I done to deserve this? That I come back every week for more. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Do we appreciate what has been given to us? It's a priceless pearl. There is a remnant, and God gave me this as I close now. There is a remnant that hold back parts of the powers of darkness until caught away. What a privilege, eh? If that doesn't speak of salt preserving, I don't know what does. And you are part of that. Your prayers are effective and they prevail much before the throne of grace. Don't give up. Don't believe the devil's lie. And when Satan attacks like he does, that is a clear indication he is very, very fearful to what God is doing. Amen. Are you the salt of the earth? Well, I think that's our introduction to this.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.